You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Well, this is a thorny situation. Get it?
And Daryl.
Thorny? It's because I'm a druid. I am humorous.
Good evening, or morning, or afternoon, or middle of the night, whatever it is for you, and welcome to episode 182 of the Training Dummies podcast, recorded on November 21st, 2017. My name is Rob, and I am playing a crap ton of Hearthstone lately. I'm waiting for Daryl to, like, be like...
Really?
Talking about how much he loves Hearthstone.
I wouldn't go that far, but I've been playing... Hey, I've got my quest completed yesterday and today. I have a clean quest log right now on Hearthstone.
Get them done, because that is like your pro tip for when new expansions come out. You stay on top of your quests, and you will be showered with new packs of cards upon release.
Yes, and I did just buy the expansion today, like the
pre-order. Yeah,
the pre-order today. I checked on my phone yesterday. Now, what Blizzard has done for Canada is they now converted everything to Canadian dollars. I no longer buy in US, I buy in Canadian dollars. And my phone was telling me it was $70 for the expansion, which means I would be paying $5 more than I would have like a week ago before they instituted this. But then I checked, I loaded up Hearthstone on my PC and it was only $63. So I'm like, well, that's a much better deal. And I think I'm actually saving $2 over what I would have buying it in US dollars last week. So it's all good. So I bought it before things change and it goes up, which it always does.
Well, the great thing is, those of you who don't care about Hearthstone, that is not what we are all about tonight.
Exactly.
I would like to get a warm Training Dummies welcome for Katie from the Torn and the Goblin podcast. Katie, thank you so much for coming on to talk about World of Warcraft with us.
Thank you. I am absolutely ecstatic to be here with you guys, so thank you for having me.
So what we've been doing for, I don't know, a while now, it's started well before BlizzCon, and we're a good chunk of the way through the series, is our Stay Classy series. And tonight, is if you couldn't tell by the bumper at the top of the show, is going to be all about druids. And Katie is a bit of a druid enthusiast.
That's
so
right.
Katie... Before we get into all that stuff, because I know just from chatting with you before we even started that you know, you've probably forgotten more than I know about druids. But before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and your background with gaming and Blizzard and Warcraft?
Okay. Well, thank you, first of all. My name is Katie. I'm actually from the Torn and the Goblin, which you mentioned. It's a podcast about lore. And I am a huge Blizzard lore enthusiast. I actually didn't get into Blizzard lore until about 5 years ago, which is interesting, because I have been playing Blizzard games almost my entire life. So I've started all the way back. I sat in my dad's lap when he was playing Diablo 1, and I watched, unbeknownst to my mother, late night.
I feel so old now.
Well, I was like 8, so it wasn't like really little, but it was young enough that my mother would have definitely frowned upon me watching the, the graphic pixel blood splutting out of the demons, so, which really wasn't that graphic. Anyways, but I really got into Warcraft 2, and me and my families, actually, this is great for Thanksgiving, since Thanksgiving this week, my families would have this tradition of us all piling into a tiny room and doing giant Warcraft 2 LAN parties, and that was really important to me growing up as a kid. So that was really cool, and that's where I got my Warcraft start. And I played a lot of Warcraft 3 with my brother, and I've always loved all the characters. I've actually always had a soft spot for the Horde just because I thought they were interesting. Like, you know, you get the knight in shining armor in every RPG, but you don't always get to play the token bad guys. So I've always been enchanted by the Horde monsters.
Okay, the Alliance are the bad guys. The Alliance are the bad guys. Let's get that straight here.
Yeah, that's fundamental lore right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, you don't have to try and convince me, guys. I have the facts. I know. So we're all good there. But yeah, so that's kind of my Blizzard background. I didn't start playing Warcraft until tail end of BC, though. I didn't start playing right at vanilla, unfortunately. I've been playing ever since. So
nice.
Now I'm a lore addict, and here I am.
All right. Oh, perfect. Well, should we just get going into it then? Because I think it's going to be a great episode.
I know druids have a little, probably more to cover than some of the other classes. So yeah, let's just jump in.
Certainly. All right. Yeah, I was gonna say the druids, unbeknownst to, or not unbeknownst, but unlike a lot of other classes, have the four weapons. So we do have quite a bit of lore to cover, and I will try not to go too crazy.
That's all good. All good.
All
this
right.
is Rob and Daryl from the Training Dummies.
And you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
Oh, that still cracks me up. But if you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland and myself, Daryl, is at Daryl_TTD.
Wait, what? What do you mean there's lore in this game? You guys actually paid someone to write a story about Raynor meeting Diablo?
We should swap stories sometime.
My story mirrors that of all orcs. A tale of savagery and redemption. Perhaps one day I shall tell it to you.
Clearly you haven't heard my story.
Oh, yes. I have many, many stories to tell. Would you like to hear one? $9.95 per minute.
If you're wondering why we did our own bumper, go back and check out episode 181 of the Training Dummies podcast, where we... or James came back and took over everything, and as the host, he forced us to record our own bumper, so yeah. It was amazing. So, Katie, why don't we just get into it? So, going kind of closing down Warlords and killing Archimonde and burning down our garrisons and dancing in the fire as they all went away. So what happened with druids from there? Did they do anything special, or did they just kind of mope around and do sad druidy things? Or
well, as far as I know, they weren't like super on the scene. Like they did quite a bit in Warlords of Draenor, and as far as I know, they kind of just like there wasn't any major cataclysmic event in between. Like the novel that can't remember his name, but the Illidan novel, you know, didn't have any druidic lore in there. Mm-hmm. We don't really have anything that branches the two that's significant, like Tyrande and Mael.
Branches? I see what you did there.
I mean, it's a druid podcast, right? So, well, it is today, anyways. But incoming druid puns, watch yourselves. But yeah, there wasn't a lot that kind of, I don't know, there wasn't anything major that happened in between the two, unlike... I think it's like Warcraft 3 and World of Warcraft, where you had the Emerald Nightmare, and there's novels for both like Cataclysm and some of the other expansions. There wasn't a lot about the druids that I saw. It was mostly just coming straight into Legion. We kind of find out more about not really what the druids have been up to, but where they're going to go now that the Legion threat is back. And one of the reasons this is important is because of the War of the Ancients, which was 10,000 years ago. When the Legion first invaded Azeroth, we saw a lot of the Ancients, the wild gods such as Ursoc and Godrin and Aviana, we saw a lot of these important figures die, and those are really important to druidic lore, excuse me. So now that the Legion is back, it's kind of bringing back some of those characters, and it's kind of like renewing some of those memories. And for people that haven't read the War of the Ancients series, that covers those are a series of books by Richard Knack that cover all of the War of the Ancients and go into a lot of both druid lore and then kind of what happened in detail for the War of the Ancients. So if anyone's interested in further reading, there's that.
Perfect. Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, so once you meet up, we've kind of figured out so far that everybody gets the same opening. We all go down to the Broken Shore and battle our way through there and then come back or I forget exactly, Dalaran gets moved and all that stuff. So we meet up with Dadgar and he's doing Dadgar things. So what takes us into the Order Hall? Like what's the kind of lead into that?
Sure. So you get a courier who comes to you and says, hey, I want you to come to Moonglade. And druids have that nifty Moonglade spell that we almost never use. So I was like, oh, great. I get to, you know, spam the Moonglade button and go to Moonglade. And what you find out is that they're trying to amass all of the druids in Moonglade. And they want to speak to Malinor, the giant deer stag. We see him in Hyjal, and I believe we kind of pseudo-resurrect him. He's kind of the leader-ish of I want to call them old gods. I'm sorry, they're not old gods. Please don't think they're old gods. The wild gods.
Wild gods, got it, yeah.
You can tell where my mind is at.
Big difference there, yeah.
Very big difference. They're almost counter-opposite. Not quite. But yes, the wild gods, he kind of leads them, but he's kind of the forefront. So he's the giant white stag, if people are wondering who he is. But basically all the druids gather and they want to kind of reach out to him and find out what's happening. But he doesn't have a physical presence on Azeroth, so they need to summon him. So what happens is you go to Moonglade and you start to gather two followers there, which is Zentabra, which some people might recognize. She's a druid from Echo Isles, and she's a troll druid, and she's the one that recounts exactly how trolls became druids. And then you also get Nelorex, which, if you have ever done Wailing Caverns, he should ring a bell because he's the one you got to go wake up. He also, most of his followers are the ones that turned into the druids of the Fang, the snake guys.
So, okay. Oh, yeah. That was off in that separate room there, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah.
When you were done?
When he turns into a bird, he makes a bear noise.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's Nelorex. He's still around if you run Wailing Caverns, but definitely, yeah, for anyone that played Wailing Caverns it wasn't Cataclysm, was it? I'm trying to remember when it was redone, but that was him that you had to go wake up. So two like not huge druid figures, but ones that we've seen before. And you go gather them up and you're like, okay, so let's go commune with Malinor. And let's go kind of like figure out where the druids are going to go from here, and how are we going to approach and tackle the Legion? Because these wild gods essentially turned the tides of the war back in the War of the Ancients. And so we need their help desperately. And so we go and collect the followers. And when you contact him, you find out that he's trapped in the Emerald Nightmare. And he's getting pulled back, and the Emerald Nightmare is steadily encroaching upon Azeroth and the Dream Grove. And so this kind of sets off warning bells, and it launches your whole Druid Order Hall campaign. But essentially everyone's like, oh my goodness, the White Stag! Oh, he's getting pulled into the Nightmare! Oh, there's a Nightmare! So even before we know that Vel'Shaerah is corrupt, Malinor is, you know, slowly being corrupted, and everyone kind of freaks out. And that's kind of the start and, like, the continuation.
I already found that more compelling than when I went through it myself. Like, oh, no, the thing is burning. No, but really, so you're running around and you're trying to stop the corruption. I remember you having to, man, there was so much druid stuff to do. I don't even want to pretend like I remember which part is which, because I'm going to be talking about like the feral artifact thing, thinking that that's how you got your mount.
There's a lot here. Like, there's a lot of pre-lore from the War of the Ancients. There's a lot of names. There's a lot of, you know, important figures. So it's a lot without lists and charts. I can tell you that for sure.
Okay, so you finally get your order hall opened up, and kind of where what's the druidy stuff from there?
All right, so, you know, you said, like, I guess the conclusion of the hall is, you know, you return triumphant, you go to the Dream Grove, and all of the druids are amassing here, and actually this is probably one of my favorite order halls, just because it's so, I don't want to say it's so druidy, but it really is. It's beautiful. There's druids of all different kinds here. I think there's even druids of different, I don't really know what to call them, but like classes, because we have a druid of the antler, which I've never heard of. We have druids of the fang, the claw, all different kinds of druids that are specialized in all different walks of life, which is really cool. And then we also have, you know, the giant trees, and we don't have wild gods, but we have the Children of Cenarius. I can't think of what they're called off the top of my head. But we have all just a whole bunch of things. Then we have, like, bunnies and flowers and, you know, pretty things. But
nice. So you said it's your favorite one. I actually really didn't like it at first. And I felt like I was tripping over everything everywhere I went. But then I've come around, because they've got a mailbox there. They've got, I don't know. They basically have everything.
Mailbox?
Yes.
We do, yeah.
What a rip.
Yeah. Seriously. Like, so wow. It's like kind of annoying. Like, why did druids get like the Dream Grove, and they get all this, you know, they get a mailbox, they get
Well, it's like in the most like convenient location, plus we get portals to all these different places all over the world, and we get a portal to Dalaran, and
it's kind of in a pretty good location for doing emissary stuff too, because you just pop out of Valshara there and you're either really close to High Mountain or Azuna or
Sure.
You're like kind of like right on the corner of all the zones, so I don't know.
Yeah, and then you can go into the Emerald Dream, and then you can get portals to all over the world as well, which is really nice.
Yeah, I did the Feral Hidden Artifact thing.
Oh, that's the coolest.
Once I finally got it done, it was, but it was trying to find those little stone egg things, man.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into some of the artifacting, because I think this is probably going to be the meat of what we're doing here. You know, dealer's choice here. You can talk about them in whatever order you want, but let's start off with those.
Well, you had mentioned the feral one, which is the class that I main, admittedly terribly, but feral is my favorite. So we should probably start off with the Fangs of Ashmain.
All right.
Well, I guess I'll kick this off. Interestingly enough, the Fangs of Ashmain didn't exist. It's one of the few like pieces of the Druid Hoarder Hall. It's one of the
made up ones.
Yeah, it was one that didn't exist prior to this. We can get into that in a moment. But what's interesting is like the name, it changed at least once, we know for sure, because at Gamescom in 2015, it was called the Fangs of the First Nightsaber instead of the Fangs of Ashmain. So that's just an interesting little point there. But what we know about Ashmain is that she was this great cat. She was a wild god, and she wasn't quite on the level of Ursoc, but she was close. And she was blessed by Freya for her cunning and ferocity. So the wild gods don't start off as these beings of great power. They are kind of elevated. And so she was elevated by Freya because Freya was going around and watching all the different animals. Just like Ursoc and Ursel, she saw Ashmain and she blessed Ashmain. And so during the War of the Ancients, Cenarius called on all of these wild gods, and Ashmain was one of the ones who answered the call, and she died in the War of the Ancients, destroying demons. You know, she was taken out by hordes of demons. And to honor her sacrifice, a group of druids called the Ashen forged daggers out of her fangs, and that's where the Fangs of Ashmain come from. So I don't know if you guys had anything to add here, but go ahead and jump in if you...
No, you're good. So are you going to take us through a little bit of like what it...
Oh, yeah.
What it was? Okay, good.
For sure. So the way that you kind of obtain these fangs, and I've done this, I think, 3 times now because Feral is my favorite. But you actually start out by going to the Shrine of Ashmain, which is this really cool spot in Valshara, and there's a giant, beautiful statue of her there. But when you go there, you know, just like any other Order Hall quest, you're like, you go there, you're like, well, maybe this one will be different, but something bad is happening. So you go there and you find out that the Shrine of Ashmain is under attack by the Legion. You show up and there's druids lying everywhere, and you come to the conclusion something is no good. So you go around and you rescue a lot of the Ashen Druids. You rescue them from the Legion. You kind of heal them up a little bit. And while you're going around saving these druids, a dreadlord breaks into the... Oh, no, sorry. It's a pit lord, I think. The pit lord breaks into the shrine. He doesn't break into it, but he kind of like comes into the shrine and he starts using fell magic on the barrier that's protecting the fangs. And a druid jumps in named Versak, and he steals the fangs before the pit lord can take them.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yep. And so, the Versak runs off, and you're like, dude, what the heck? Like, you're not going to stay around and help me fight this guy. But you wind up fighting and defeating the pit lord, and then, you know, Versak just booked it, and so you have to go find Versak. And the fun part is you get to be in your druid form where you're doing this. So you're stalking him, you're stalking Versak, and you're following his scent trail. And it turns out that Versak has gone down into one of the Feldorai ruins, the spidery elf people. He's hidden himself down there. Because he goes a little bit crazy from the fangs. Like, he thinks everyone's going to try and steal the fangs from him. goes a little crazy. So you finally track him down, and it turns out he's been caught by the Felderoi, and he's in a web, and he's stuck. So you destroy all the Felderoi, and you release him, and he's incredibly grateful. And he's like, oh, you know, thank you for saving me. I can see that you're worthy of the fangs, and he gives them to you. And then you're like, yeah. It was a little bit of a smug moment for me. I'm like, dude, really? Maybe chase you all the way out here?
Right.
Let you go. But so that's the fangs of Ashimane. And that one was a really fun quest line. But not as meaty lore-wise as some of the other ones, but you get some pretty cool skins, like the hidden appearance. So,
do you just want to talk about that one real quick? That is like one of the funniest, cool, like looking skins in the like. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's kind of like an owl cat. And then, of course, they came out with the Priest Order Hellmount, and I'm not really sure what an owl cat is anymore. So I'm like, is it the Druid?
Yeah, that's like some sort of like pug meets owl meets like somebody got kicked in the face. Like, I don't even know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's up for debate. So it's like a feral hawk cat thing. Regardless, I think it looks really cool. It's like a moonkin cat because it has the antlers. And I got super stoked when I saw it on the PTR. So for people that haven't done the Druid Hall yet, you get these cool screeches when you go into the Emerald Dream. And you have to have the fangs of Ashimane in order to get the screeches.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because that makes sense on how they unlock. But you'll get three screeches, and I didn't write these in my notes, so I'm going to struggle a little bit here.
Oh, you know what? It's fine. Well, this okay. One, we could do the, like, maybe the abridged version. Yeah, sure. you get the little screeches, and it kind of, like, tells you that you need to go and track down these stones, and you have to go, like, in all these areas across the world and find these stones. And
yeah, there's three portals, and I, like, there's Feralos, and, oh, goodness, there's two more that you enter. And, yeah, the I forget what they're called. They have a name, the owl cat creatures, but you actually get blessed by them once you touch all the stones, because like, when you touch a stone, it says something about like you hear something skitter behind you and disappear. And it's kind of mysterious if you don't know what's going on. You're like, oh, this is kind of creepy, but maybe awesome because it didn't attack me. But it turns out that this wild god blesses you with the ability to transform yourself into one of his children, or like his form, which is really neat. So
yeah,
that was super cool, and I really love that form. So I'm a very, very happy feral druid.
But all right, so that's basically feral then. Which one do you want to do next?
Well, the next one I have is a little meatier, which is the Claws of Ursoc. I thought we'd do feral and then guardian, because I enjoy guardian as well.
Yeah, those have historically been the two that I lean on, but yeah.
I agree. Yeah, no, I'm not good at feral. I'm worse at guardian, and then the other two are not worth mentioning. So, I have been called a spam chicken before, so yes, but we will cover those in good time, I guess. But the Claws of Ursoc are actually really awesome because they have a lot of lore pertaining to both Ursoc, which is the giant guardian bear, and then Ursul, which is his brother. So I don't know if either of you are familiar with Ursoc or Ursul.
Well, I know there's a lot more to it than this, but we fought one in the Emerald Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And they're big, glowy bears.
Yeah.
I will go into a little bit of backstory on both, because it gives the Claws of Ursoc more meaning, if you understand.
Yeah, totally.
Perfect.
Okay, cool. All right, so as I was talking about with Ashimane, Ursoc and Ursul both were traditional bear cubs at one point in the Grizzly Hills, and they caught the eye of Freya because no matter what happened, these two cubs would roam around together, and they would always have each other's back. And they, you know, they get into all kinds of trouble. They would go and face foes that were too powerful, and they get scraped up and that sort of stuff. But she wound up blessing both of them. And what's interesting is Ursoc was always very protective, and Ursul was always very kind of compassionate, but he wasn't as strong as Ursoc. So Ursoc is the one that has these amazing claws that are made out of Titan steel, and they actually have the essence of the Titan Eonar in them, the Titan of life and nature. And Ursul, his brother, was kind of blessed with more magical abilities. So the Firbolg that worship Ursoc and Ursel. You have the warriors that worship Ursoc, the strong one, and then the shaman that worship Ursel. So that kind of the Firbolg are important because they're the ones that kind of tie this together in a way, because we go to Grizzly, and we'll get to that in just a second. But one of the things that happened to Ursoc is when the War of the Ancients came around, both Ursoc and Ursel went into battle, and they were separated, and Ursoc was killed. And so he was using the claws, and he was, you know, battling all these demons, and they took him over, and him and Ursel got separated, and as I said, he died. And I think Ursel also died, but Ursel always kind of lingered because he felt that he didn't betray his brother, but he failed his brother because he wasn't there to protect him in the one time that he needed him. But after the War of the Ancients, the Firbolg found the claws of Ursoc, and all the Firbolg that tried to use the claws of Ursoc went crazy. So Ursoc, from the Emerald Dream, pulled the power away from the claws because he didn't want people to go insane, because nobody could wield the fury of Ursoc correctly. So he is waiting until this point in Legion until someone is worthy to wield his claws. So comes the Druid Order Hall. You actually start by talking to a Druid of the Claw named Leah Stonepaw. And you're like, okay. She's like, okay, I think we could really use the claws of Ursoc. Like, these are legendary items. They'll really help. Like, Ursoc was this amazing wild god, and he, you know, like, his claws, these items can help us fight the Legion. And so we go to the Grizzly Hills, which is where Ursoc and Ursel were from, and where the Firbolg that took the claws live. So we find that the claws were sealed away by Ursel, actually, and only a demigod like Ursel can give you access to the claws. So Ursel, you summon Ursel, you go to all the trouble to summon him, and he's not really sure about you. He's like, I don't know, like, these claws are pretty powerful. I don't know if you can wield my brother's claws. And so he makes you go through a trial. And the trial, like, you go through three trials, one to test your might, your courage, and then the third one is kind of the heartbreaker, because he's like, I need to know that you can protect someone, because I failed to protect my brother. He was wielding these claws. So he makes you protect Leah, and if you're successful, which it took me a few tries, then he will, he's like, okay, you can have the claws, but we need to go into the Emerald Dream to get... Well, we need to go to the Emerald Dream to actually retrieve them from my brother. So you go there, and you find Ursoc and Maelun, and you help Ursoc defeat minions of the Nightmare, because they're everywhere. And unfortunately, in the end, Ursoc gets captured by Xavius, which, I mean, we all know, because Ursoc gets corrupted, unfortunately. But you just, after Ursoc is captured, you fight another underling of Xavius, and then you get the super cool claws. So that's kind of the whole everything, I guess.
Yeah, that one's pretty straightforward. All right, so we've got the Resto and Balance left. Which ones do you want to do next?
Well, I was going to say the Scythe of Alun is kind of meaty, so if we want to do a... Well, there's a lot of lore on the Scythe of Alun, so if you want to do that one next, or we can do the Branch of Gahanir. So... I'll leave it up to you. Do you, like,
you pronounce it that way, and that just makes me think of the shampoo.
Garnier.
I always thought it was like the Garnier. Like, so you actually say it properly. So I'm like, oh wow, okay.
Well, let's just say that I failed so badly at it, I had to listen to one of the NPCs shout Gahanir like 120 times. It's seared into my mind.
That's amazing.
Nice.
Well, I guess with that, we could go on to the Branch of Gahanir.
Sure.
Yes.
So I never have to think about it ever again.
The Branch of Garnier. Gotcha.
Garnier, yes. The beautiful flowing shampoo branch. I wish. It does kind of have nice tendrils, though.
Well, that was perfect. Okay. Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Gahanir, unlike Ashimane, actually does have a little bit of history that we know of. Gahanir is the giant It's like this giant tree in the Emerald Dream, and it's where all of the spirits of all flying creatures go when they die. And so Aviana keeps this tree alive and well, and that's where all of her, like, all of her children, but, like, when I say children, it's, like, anything that flies. Like, dragons are there. She even invited the Arakoa from Draenor to go there. Yeah, Gahanir is this really cool concept. I know I've seen concept art of it before, but I don't think we've ever actually seen it. Unfortunately, like most things, Gahanir died at the War of the Ancients because Aviana perished. And one of the neat things about Gahanir is, although the tree died, one acorn survived, and that's how we got Nordrassil through Alexstrasza. So the giant world tree in Hyjal was born because of this tree in the Emerald Dream. That's, they said it's dead, but it's like coming back now that Aviana's kind of alive still. It's a little obscure, to be honest. But I don't know. I don't know if you guys have done the Gahanir quest line.
I have done every single one of every single everything. So,
oh my!
Yeah, I got the. There's a feat of strength. It's called like a legendary campaign that you get for finishing all of them. I have the class mounts on every class. The problem was like I was so quote unquote hyped on doing all that I like didn't really soak any of it in. I just kind of like ran through most of it. So
yeah, I hear you. I'm running through the Rogue Order Hall one right now, and I'm enjoying that. But I'm trying to like not do them all at the same time, because otherwise, like this Order Hall, I get burned out because I did them all at the same time, and I struggled with Gahanir. Gahanir will always be a kind of a stain on my lovely Druid Order Hall campaign. But I've always been a miserable druid healer, so we'll leave that alone.
A stain on your druid campaign.
Yes.
All right.
So what do we do to get this then?
All right. So the first thing you have to do is you go and meet up with everyone's favorite bubbly dryad, Baelun, the one that loves bunnies and makes you go capture them in Mount Hyjal. And she says that there is, you know, this wonderful staff, Gahanir, and she saved it and she brought it with her through the Emerald Dream, but it's corrupted. And she has essentially put it to sleep, which makes it sound like it's almost sentient, which is weird. It doesn't talk to you like any of the other artifacts, because that would maybe be creepy to have a tree talking to you, but I'm not sure. But she's like, okay, I've kind of put it to rest. Like, it's suppressed right now, but it's in the Emerald Dream, so you need to go retrieve it. And that's kind of where the whole slog begins, in my opinion, because I had to change into feral form because I couldn't do it the right way.
I did all of them as Guardian. Like even the even some of the healing ones. I was like, I don't care.
Oh, yeah. No, it was tough. I died lots of times. And I found it funny because I went and watched some of the recap videos just to make sure I remembered it correctly. And they died many, many times. So.
Oh, nice.
It's like I didn't do it wrong. Everyone had trouble with it. But yeah, so you get sent into the Emerald Dream, which is really cool. Nalorex and Myloon both help you. And so you go in and you find out, like, after you kind of sneak through the Barrow Dens, you get up to the main part of the Druid Order Hall and you see that the nightmare is being held at bay by Lise Bloomwatcher. Excuse me, kind of butchered her name. But she's basically one of the druids of the kind of like a regrowth druid. So she's holding the nightmare at bay and she's like, oh, I can't hold this any longer. You gotta, you know, grab the staff. And so you grab the staff, but it's not the legendary staff at this point. It's still corrupted. And so you get back out of the dream and all the druids kind of reconvene with Maelun, and they're like, okay, well, we have to purify the staff. Like, what are we going to do? It's, you know, as it is now, the staff will be destroyed and it'll be completely corrupted. And so they decide that they have to go to Nordrassil and plunge it in the sacred waters that surround the great tree, because the tree was, you know, grown from the acorn of Gahanir itself. And so you get there and you find that a lovely pit lord has burned up almost all of the water because he's a jerk. And then you have to try and fight the pet lord, which took me many tries, and I was very, very frustrated by the end. But you finally, once you finally defeat that jerk, you purify the staff, and it becomes yours, and Gahanir is saved. So then you get this beautiful, cool staff that is not like shampoo, but also has beautiful shampoo trendles.
I remember that one. Like, I don't know. I feel like some of them were, like, harder than they should have been. And I don't know if I was just, like, being stupid and couldn't, like, just wasn't healing things properly or whatever. But I was running around, like, crying and screaming quite a bit.
Well, as someone that mains a resto shaman, you think I know how to do this. And I was having trouble and I was angry. So either I'm really bad at it or... So I don't know. It could be difficult, but I'm sure a lot of people that actually play resto were like, this is easy. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I'll just cry in a corner over here in my feral form. It's okay. I don't need that beautiful shampoo staff.
It's going to forever be the staff of Garnier.
It really is. It does. It has the long, beautiful tendrils. It looks like a shampoo commercial.
Is there a lime green skin tint to it? Or
yes, kind of.
Perfect. All right. Okay, so then the last one is what, the scythe of a loon? Is that what, the fruit of a loon?
Yes, the fruit of a loon. I mean, yes. Yes, so the Scythe of a Loon is probably arguably the most lore-dense piece of the Druid Order Hall, aside from some of the followers you get, just since it's a pretty legendary item in its own right. It's not as, like, in the forefront of something like Doomhammer, but it's definitely been behind the scenes, and it's actually responsible for the entire Worgen Curse. And I'll just briefly glance over the background of the Scythe of a Loon and a little bit of where it's been through history, just to kind of give a little more context. Because one of the cool things about the Scythe of a Loon is when you're going around with it, you'll find feral worgen and you can calm them and then get artifact points for doing that. And I will explain why. So I will make it brief because it's like 5 pages and I'm like, no, we don't need to do that.
We're good. We're doing good. Nice.
All right. Well, the cool thing about the Scythe of a Loon is that it was created by a druid named Rallar during the War of the Satyr. And he was a druid that was part of a group of druids that liked to use a wolf form. And this was long ago, like, Malfurion banned the use of this wolf pack form because it was unreliable. And when the druids went into it, they couldn't control their rage. Like, they were kind of not possessed by the spirit of Gaudrun, but they were infused with the spirit of Gaudrun, I almost called him Aloha. He is technically Aloha, but the wild god of ferocity, I guess. And so they would get really, they would actually start attacking each other, and it just got a little out of control. So Malfurion kind of put the kibosh on that. He's like, nobody should be using this wolf form. It's banned. You can't use it. And of course, somebody's like, well, I disagree with that. So this druid, Rallar, wanted to control this form. And so he and a group of other druids were trying to find a way to do that. And they got a Fang of Gaudrun and a staff that was blessed by a loon and smacked them together and created this Scythe of a Loon. So the blessing of a loon, unfortunately, was rejected by Gaudrun. So the staff turned all the druids into worgen, essentially. So it cursed them into this, you know, half man, half essentially wolf form. And so they
kind of funny because that's what druids are anyways, right? They shift into other stuff.
Pretty much. Except this was like they didn't really have control of themselves. It was the wolf was taking over more than the man, or I guess they're technically elves. But it was this weird, like, very feral form of, like, a hybrid between the two, which is kind of cool, but also kind of scary. But yeah, so, you know, these worgen were really useful at first, and they helped kind of change the tide of the war, but then they just got out of hand and started killing a bunch of people, and they just went completely feral. And so Malfurion was like, that's it, we're done, and he put all of them in the Emerald Dream, like an internal sleep. And so many years later, our my favorite ruler, Gen Greymane, was like, hey, he goes up to a mage named Argal, and he's like, Argal, I need you to find a solution so we can get rid of the Scourge. And Argal's like, what could I do? So Argal winds up pulling Rallar and all of his worgen out of the Emerald Dream, and they fight the Scourge, which is great until, you know, they curse all of Gilneas. So that's kind of how the worgen come into play with the Staff of a Loon. After this point, the staff changes hands quite a few more times, and then it's kind of lost and rediscovered in Legion. Like, its trail kind of goes off in the lore, and then it's like, ta-da! We've known where it's been the whole time. Here it is in Legion. And you're like, okay. Like, there's a whole, like, weird story about, like, treasure hunters finding it, and the night elves finding it, and it kind of goes all over the place. But the main thing is that we find it again in Legion, and now you get to hold it. So, I would be the...
Daryl, you get to hold it.
Yeah, I was one of those people that was like, I am not excited to see this because I don't want to touch that thing. But it is really cool, though. But given its history, I kind of took one look at the staff. I'm like, why are we touching that? Shouldn't that be locked away somewhere? That's going to cause a lot of problems. But
so what do we do? How do we get it then? What do we have to do?
Well, so this is what's interesting, is this actually took a turn through the questing that I wasn't expecting. We actually pull in some interesting characters that I hadn't really remembered, but we'll get to that in a second. So, first of all, you know, you go up, and naturally Tyranda's like, Tyranda Whisperwind, of course, is like, oh, well, I know where the scythe is. I guess I could give it to you, because, you know, you're like a druid or something, and I guess it's okay for you to have it, because this won't cause horrible amounts of agony or anything. So she sends you to Duskwood, and you go and find it, find the current keeper, whose name is Valorn Stillbow. And, I mean, it makes sense that he's extremely reluctant to give it to anyone, because he's like, you know, this has a really bad history. I'm like, yeah, I know, buddy. But he's like, oh, well, I guess it seems fine. I'll give it to you. And so he's about to hand you the staff, and then suddenly he's assassinated by a Dark Rider. And that part was really alarming, because I totally didn't see that coming. But this Dark Rider takes the staff and charges off. He's like, this staff belongs in Karazhan. And if anyone else had a moment where they're wondering what the heck a Dark Rider is, and had to go look it up like myself.
Oh, that's some Lord of the Rings action right there.
Well, they actually are a lot like the Wraiths, which is interesting. And I think there's a direct parallel between those two in a way. Because the Dark Riders were cursed, they were... not salesmen, but they're like sketchy salesmen that would go and try and sell Medivh things, and he would curse them, and they turned into essentially like his ring wraiths. They'd go and they would collect artifacts from all over Azeroth and bring them back to Medivh in Karazhan. But once Medivh died, the riders were still around, so they've just been hanging out stealing stuff. Which nice. You're like, great! Alright, cool! Just a bunch of jerks! But so you go, there's another druid there who's like, oh my goodness, we have to follow the trail. So you follow the trail of this Dark Rider, back to a place called Manor Mistmantle, where you meet a lovely Revel Coast. And I was like, okay, this seems like a cool guy. But you go meet up with him, and he tells you the history of the Dark Riders. And he explains that, you know, where they're from Karazhan, and that they live in Deadwind Pass, or they had a camp in Deadwind Pass. And so he's like, okay, we should go search there for the scythe, because of anywhere, it would probably be there. So you have to, you know, take the long road all the way up to Deadwind. But the leader of this band of Dark Riders is called Arden. And so you go to Arden's camp, and you kind of start rifling through his belongings, which... spoiler alert, usually doesn't turn out very well. And so when you start poking around, you find a journal, and it reveals how he found the scythe, which is cool, because if anyone's been in Duskwood, you remember all the Worgen population out there?
Yep, definitely.
The Worgen actually were drawn to the Scythe of Alun, so he noticed that the Worgen were having weird movements, and so he started trailing them, and then from there he discerned that the Scythe of Alun was in Duskwood, and he went and stole it, and assassinated Valorn for no reason. Really alarming, but I just be like, oh yeah, like literally he's handing you the staff, and he just dies. And I was like, oh god, how could this have happened? But... after you're done poking through his camp, naturally you're attacked, but, Revel's like, okay, you know what we need to do? We need to break into Karazhan, and we need to get the staff back, because that's where they are, because they're not at their camp that's out in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, well, why would they be at their camp in the middle of nowhere? That seems kind of dumb. But you wind up going into Karazhan, into these like catacombs, these lower sewers of Karazhan, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And you fight all of the Dark Riders. And finally, once you go toe-to-toe with Arden, you're able to reclaim the scythe once you defeat him. And then it's just yours. Then, your buddy Revel's just like, yeah, no, it's fine. You can keep the Scythe of Balloon. I'm just going to return these other artifacts to, like, you know, wherever they're from. And I was like, but these are really powerful artifacts. Shouldn't they go somewhere, like, safe-ish?
Nah.
Nah? No, okay. We're just going to just hand them back to whoever had them before, I guess. But, so apparently there's a ton more really powerful artifacts we don't even know about, and they're just all under Karazhan.
So these catacombs, are these the ones that have been there since, like, Fenella that we've never had access to? Or I remember here, I never did try it, but there was a way to get into these catacombs if you did something. Are these those?
Like, no, they're not. As someone that actually has worked myself into those catacombs.
Okay.
they're a little bit different than those. This is just like, it kind of looks like one of the underground maps from, I want to say, like, Suramar or something. It's kind of laid out similarly.
Oh, okay.
But I will say, just for any of those interested going to the catacombs, if you do the new Nightmare Horse Mount quest, you get access to the Karazhan catacombs.
Oh, okay, cool.
I will not be doing the new Nightmare Horse quest.
I will. I keep forgetting to do it, but I need to do it.
I don't know. When they have the add-on that makes it take like 20 minutes, then I'll probably do it. But I think the way they designed it is that it is very intentionally put together so that you get angry with yourself and then angry with those around you, and then you get hungry and then you get scared, and then you go through all these different like feelings, and you have regret and you're tired. Yeah, it's a thing.
Well, the other way around it is if you have a warlock friend that can get under there or can squish themselves in the incorrect way, which I've obviously never done, you can have your warlock buddy summon you into there. So that's another fun way around it. Or if you have anyone that has summoning abilities, like if you have recruit a friend or anything, you can summon your buddies into the catacombs. So if you guys don't feel like doing the work, if you have a good warlock buddy that can help you out, they can get you in. So you can still have your Halloween parties down there. Don't worry about it.
Good, because at the end of the day, that's what you really want.
Hey, I mean, I did. It was fun. But that's probably before they fixed it.
Okay, so that's all the artifacts.
Yep.
Now, is there anything in the Order Hall that we haven't discussed yet?
Not really. I mean, there's a lot of the followers. The followers, aside from
the mailbox.
There is a mailbox. There's two mailboxes, actually. Oh, like
two? That's just not even fair now. Wow.
Two mailboxes, a portal right next to the Emerald Nightmare, so you can get teleported directly to the entrance.
It is kind of a pain, though. Like, when you want to do something, you have to, like, go way down into a tree somewhere, and then to get your little recruits and stuff, so. Yeah.
I guess so.
I guess it's worth, the mailbox is, like, worth a lot. Like,
yeah,
I like that. I need that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Order Hall itself is pretty cool. I kind of like all of the statues in the middle that denote each of the different forms of Druidism. And
well, once you get flying, it's extra cool because you don't have to worry about getting your foot caught on a little branch. Or, you know.
There is a lot of ground clutter there. It does make my computer struggle a little bit if I
Yeah, the pathing is the pathing is a mess. But okay, so you were going to talk then a little bit about the different followers and picking those up along the way.
Yeah, so we actually have some pretty big names as far as followers go, and I think these guys should be even familiar to people that maybe don't know Druids as well, because a lot of these guys come from Hyjal. So if you played Cataclysm at all, or you played in Mount Hyjal, some of them should be familiar if you read your quests, which I know a lot of people that don't, so maybe these aren't familiar.
Right. That.
No, that's okay. I'd say most of my friends don't know who any of these people are, so it's quite all right. But I think I talked about Zimtabra and Nalarex, but the four big ones that you get that are from Hyjal are Brol Bearmantle, Archdruid Hamil Rune Totem, Mylune, who I talked about earlier as well, and then Thistly Crow. So I'll just do a quick little blurb on each of them people can place
perfect.
Them.
Yes, perfect,
yes. So Brol Bearmantle is probably one of the most famous druids just from lore. He's legitimately everywhere and nowhere at the same time. He is, I believe he's even in Warcraft 3, but he's gone on adventures with Varian Rin. He's part of the Cenarian Circle. He's everywhere. If you search him and you look up any of the things he's done, you're like, wow, he's literally everywhere. But he's had a part in just about every expansion, minus, I think, Vanilla and BC. He's at least been somewhere in present and had something to say. But he's a very powerful druid. He actually also has antlers, like... Malfurion. So him and Malfurion are two of the very, very small number of druids that have antlers, and that's supposed to denote like this great druidic symbiosis. So he's actually like on the scale with Malfurion. Like Malfurion considers him an equal in druidism. So that's kind of a big deal, and oh, nice. I didn't actually know that before doing a little more research. But that's Brol. Archdruid Hamul Rune Totem is the... He's not a Horde druid necessarily, but most Horde players will come in contact with him. He actually gets set on fire in Hyjal and is recovering for most of it. Nice. So if anyone remembers the Four Tauren that became Hamburger, that was Hamul. But he's probably most notably seen in... I can't remember what the raid is called. Help me out, guys.
I don't remember what raid you're talking about, but his name is familiar.
Oh, the raid in Hyjal with Ragnaros.
Oh, Firelands.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Yeah, so at the end when they pull Ragnaros out and he's standing on his little baby legs, Hamul is there with both Cenarius and Malfurion. So a lot of people, if you're after the mounts like I am, probably heard him talk way too many times. But he's there, and he's kind of just kind of scattered throughout druid lore and druid quests. So the last two, Maelun, everyone knows for her love of fluffy creatures, and she makes you go pick them up all the time, even in the druid order hall.
Yes, and when you have her as your bodyguard, she gives you little fluffy creatures to run around with you.
Yes, really? Yes, wow. She does. She's like my favorite and my least favorite at the same time. Like, there's a lot of face palming that happens, but I'm like, I love you at the same time because you're just Maelun, and I can't. And then Thistley is a druid of the Talon, so you find her in Aviana's shrine in Hyjal, and she's always like, yeah, I just want to, you know, get my talons dirty. I want to go beat people up, and you're like, you maybe need to take a seat here. Like, maybe you're getting a little excited. Like, maybe we shouldn't go murder people right out of the gate, Thistley, but she's always excited, kind of looking for a fight, kind of scrappy. So she's fun, and she's brought a lot of life to that quest chain.
She has some dialogue in one of the Broken Shores world quests where she wants to help the chicks be free again.
Yes, yep, yeah, the crane chicks. Yes. He's like, yeah, your chicks will be free again someday.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, she's very much a part of the Shrine of Aviana. She loves all flying creatures. So she's a lot of fun. She becomes your, I don't know what to call it, but like your higher tier follower. She's like the quest chain follower you get when you're going for your order hall mount.
Okay.
Yeah, she's my favorite.
She is my favorite, but I get tired of hearing, I'm feeling stabby, like every time I load into somewhere. I'm like, I know you're feeling stabby. I know you want to stab everything. Just don't tell me.
Nice.
Like every time. But I appreciate her enthusiasm.
That's awesome.
But yeah, no, she's a lot of fun. Speaking of characters that kind of freak me out, though, the other one that set me off a little bit is Brightwing, which is the sprite darter. It's the little like dragon, like has butterfly wings guy. And if you ever played Heroes of the Storm, Brightwing scares me a little bit. Like, I don't
yeah, Brightwing's no joke, man.
Yeah,
Brightwing has some like creepy dialogue and stuff. It's like,
yeah, oh yeah, Brightwing. Definitely.
I love to murder, but not exactly that. That
you're really strong. Good at murder.
Pretty much. Brightwing scares me a little, so. Brightwing's a follower. And then Keeper Remulos, which is the son of Cenarius.
Yeah.
So he's just like, oh, hey, like, you see him every once in a while. I think he's in I don't remember which zone he's in, but he's in one of the Night Elf zones as well. You kind of get to chat with him. And then there's a new follower, but other than that, that's kind of like the rundown, so it's a lot of big names, but a lot of really fun characters, and they bring a lot of life to the druid world, so it's a lot of fun.
Awesome.
All right. Now, this is probably like a point of contention for quite a few people then, where we'll talk about the class, the, what is it, the Wilford Brimley diabetes oatmeal guy class mount.
Oh no. Nice. Now I'm never going to unsee that.
Yeah, right?
Oh, that's amazing.
Why would you do that to me?
I don't know. I think Reddit did it to me. I'll have to look it up because, man, yeah, that is one of those cannot be unseen moments.
Oh, I just thought amazing. It and it can't be unseen. Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Well, rip the dream. See you later, owl form. Never going to use you again.
Seriously, look at his face. It's straight up.
It is a giant. Yeah, it's like an owl with a mustache. The mustache is kind of weird. I think they could have done without that. But at least you can have someone right on your back. It's a multi-person, so...
Oh my god, that's kinda... so... Oh my god, that's awesome.
I don't want to look at a picture. I'm never going to unsee it. I'm looking at a picture now.
That's spot on.
Oh, goodness.
Did you Google it? Because, like, yeah, there's somebody does, like, the straight-up side-by-side ones.
Oh. That is brilliant.
Oh, no.
All right, well, let's get into that and how you attained that mount.
Okay. Well, like most things, what happens is, you know, you're with Thistley, and she's like, oh my goodness, the Shrine of Ivana is, Aviana, excuse me, is under attack. Again. Actually, it's like, again. Yeah, you're just like, and you're like, and this is different because... So you have to go to the Shrine of Aviana on Mount Hyjal, and of course there's a bunch of demons, and the druids of the Talon are struggle busing because they're not really traditionally fighters. When they shift into their bird form, they're pretty fragile. So you find out after fighting a bunch of demons and talking to Thistley that the Legion is after this idol called the Idol of Aviana. And this idol is incredibly important because it's the link between the druids of the Talon and their ability to shapeshift into flight form. So without this idol, they can't fly at all, which is kind of confusing because then you're like, how does flying work for anyone in any of druids? Yeah, it brought up a lot of questions, but we'll just kind of play ignorance for this. So you're like, okay, sure, you guys can't fly at all. I get it. So the Legion has stolen it, and you need to go get it back. And Thistley's like, okay, well, all the druids of the Talon are just going to build up shop in your druid order hall. And I was like, well, why were they out in Hyjal in the first place? Shouldn't they be like with all the other druids here so we're all safe? But after their shrine is attacked, they actually like start building a shrine in your order hall to Aviana. And you're like, okay, that's cool, I guess. Like, good for you guys. I'm glad you're all over there in the little corner. But Thistley, being the person she is not content to just sit around. So she's like, okay, I'm going to go get my talons dirty. I'm going to go kick this dreadlord in the butt. And you're like, okay, I'll just come along, I guess. So you go out to Izuna, and you find that on this very tall mountaintop, there's a dreadlord that's using the idol. And I think he's corrupted it with fel magic, but he's turning the demons there. I guess he turns them into, like, harpies? And
wait, turns them into what?
Harpies. I didn't say harpies. Oh. I said harpies. I know you thought
I was like, wow.
What an idol.
Yeah, what a jerk.
No, not quite that bad, but it's strange because it's not clear if he gives them a flight form or if he transforms them. So I'm not really sure exactly what happens there, but he gives them the ability to fly and they all turn into harpies. And you have to fight all of them, and then you fly up to one of the giant ships, which names I can't remember right now. And there's more harpies there, and you battle the dreadlord and you kill him, and you take the idol back. And once you get to your order hall, you discover that the idol has been corrupted. So you and all the other druids of the Talon purify the idol, and then Aviana just suddenly appears, this cool cinematic, and just like. Touches you briefly and you gain the super cool lunar wing form, which apparently looks like an oatmeal guy, so I'm never gonna unsee it ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, Daryl, I don't think that was the Training Dummies Discord. You should link it in there because it's something very special.
No, that is the Training Dummies Discord. Yeah, it is.
All right, yeah, okay, it is. Yeah, it's so click right on one. That. Click on that one because that's a real treat.
Oh, I will never unsee it.
You don't want to. Like you don't want to unsee it.
Like every beautiful. Time. It looks like that guy just shifted into owl form. Like.
And he's offering you some oatmeal square snacks or something. Oh, man.
I want to know who's responsible for finding these things. Who's like, you know what that looks like?
All right. So is there, now that we have our class mount, is there, I'm guessing not, but is there anything specific to the druids in the, relating to Illidan? I know Rob has mentioned several times that there is with the demon hunters, but I think we've come to realize that that's because demon hunters are so closely tied to Illidan. But is there anything for druids with Illidan?
Not that I've encountered. I think it's just pretty much the druid form, and that's it for their lore for now.
All right. What about in 7.3? Was there anything new in 7.3 that we got?
That was just the additional mentor. Follower in the mount, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I think that's right. Yeah, it was just.
The, oh, that's all we got. Follower. Okay.
So, aside from the quest lines for those, nothing new. I mean, the Emerald Nightmare was the big kind of like druid,
right?
There, but even at that, like, it's nothing. There wasn't anything more than like, in one of the dungeons, one of the goodness. Trying to remember what the dungeon is called, but one of the bosses in there, if you bring like the Fangs of Ashmane in there or any of the druid weapons, he'll comment on it and be like, oh, like, how dare you bring this weapon against me, or you think this weapon is strong enough, and you're like, yeah, I do, because this is like the fifth time I've had to kick your butt today. So
all right.
Nice.
But yeah, so other than like some of those cool little throwouts from the Emerald Dream and that dungeon's name that I can't remember, that's basically the Emerald Dream, where you fight Xavius.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I can't remember it either.
Yeah, it's up there by the Druid Order Hall, whatever.
Yeah, it's right next to the Emerald Nightmare. Besides those, they don't really have any like super cool callouts besides the feral druids you can find scattered around Val'Shara, so... That's pretty much it for the druids, but it's a really cool, like, for anyone that's considering doing druid stuff, I would suggest it, because it's kind of a treat to go around and figure out how the druids are really tied into this expansion, and that's really
cool. Nice. So
what... Oh, go ahead, man. I'm still just pondering Wilford Brimley, so...
Well, let's tie it in. So, other than the class mount looking like Wilford Brimley... What was your favorite part of the druid story or the most awesome part of it that you think?
Oh, man, that's tough. There's so much of it that it's hard to pick a favorite spot, I think. But I really enjoyed the new lore for the Fangs of Ashimane. And I enjoyed how they've tied a lot of that in. And just being a feral druid and how it's different than being a guardian druid and being different than, you know, all the other kinds of druids. But at the same time in the Order Hall, they bring all of them together and they show the connectedness of the druids, like no matter what faction you are, how they're all connected, but they're all different. So it's that was kind of fun to see it all come together in that way, because I don't feel like a lot of other classes have that feeling. Like, I mean, rogues are rogues, but for druids, they all kind of have that umbrella of, you know, we all believe in nature and we're all connected and we all need to participate with each other. And really feeling that in the Order Hall was cool. And then, you know, getting to have new skins for my my feral spec was very exciting.
What was some things that maybe you thought that could have been done a little bit better?
So, as someone that loves to customize, I would say the one thing I was hoping for was a little more variation of Moonkins, because I think they could have done some really neat things. I know that they did upgrade the skins for Moonkin, but I would have loved to see them explore Moonkin, like make permanent Moonkin armor with a scythe on your back, or just kind of explore changing it up a little bit from the traditional Moonkin, like giving more variability to that. Otherwise, I think, you know, as far as the lore, there's a ton of lore, so that was spot on, and I was very fulfilled with all of that. And, I mean, other than that, I really love the Druid Order Hall, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm going to be really sad to leave it, actually. So, and to leave all of my cool weapons, because I worked really hard on that stupid Gahanir scythe, or scythe staff, stupid shampoo staff.
nice. That's awesome.
Also cannot be unseen.
Right? Yeah. No. And, well, I mean, my owl form. Oh, well, I guess the last really, 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 really small thing that bothered me is that trolls hate birds. So the Darkspear trolls have a strong dislike for birds. And that's because they think that the bird Loa, the bird wild gods, are incredibly fickle creatures and they're weak. And so they would never be seen transforming into a bird form. So as someone that enjoys troll lore, I was perhaps a little salty they didn't include an upgraded bat form for the troll. But I will let that lie because we have a lovely oatmeal man bird mount that can carry people. And it's red. So why? Because it's red.
All right, so here's a question then. Can you, because, like, I don't know, it's fine. I'm used to that mount now, and you can actually give people piggyback rides with it. Is there a way to turn it off or to shift back to, like your previous flight form?
I believe there is. I think you can do different glyphs that will turn it off. I haven't experimented with it too much, but I know some people didn't like it very much, so there is a way to get rid of it. I mostly see its back and its tail, so I don't have to look at the mustache face, so it doesn't bother me as much.
I was going to ask you a completely, like, a question that we hadn't even talked about yet, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, please.
So, are you super hyped about the new allied races that they announced at BlizzCon?
Oh my gosh, yes. Like, so hyped.
So the new trolls that actually stand up proper, like, mm-hmm. That's actually making me consider wanting to make my journey, if it's an option, which I think it is, because it's got, like, the dinosaur travel form.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty much, like...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we kind of, like, halfway jokingly are always, like, you know, making fun of druids and talking about deleting druids and stuff, but, like, seeing that, like, okay, the troll that will actually stand up proper, so he doesn't look like he's drunk and doesn't know what's going on, but, like, a cool-looking, strong troll that actually has, like, dinosaur travel and flight forms and stuff, like, that sounds kind of amazing.
Yeah, I actually have a slot planned for the Zandalari troll. I have a druid of every single race that can be a druid, so I already have a druid problem, but I am I'm very excited for another troll druid, because I think the Zandalari are going to be really cool, and I hope that they decide to make their forms even more exaggerated, like maybe more reptilian cats or something like that.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I didn't even think about feral kitty. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, or like
dude.
Yeah, they could do cool stuff with a bear. Like, it could be a dinosaur instead of a bear or something neat. Its flight form could be a pterodactyl.
Yes! Holy crap. Okay, I'm getting way too hyped about this. Like, so the Worgen came out, and, like, their bear form was, like, it just looked like you went into the clearance section of Hot Topic and picked out some stuff, and, like... Yeah, let me put on this cool studded necklace and these bracelets here. I'm like, why? It could have been so good.
I understand the direction they went, but I think, yeah, I think that the troll ones are much cooler because, you know, you got, like, the tigers and then the tusked bears. I like my mohawk bear. I'm going to put it that way.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but mine straight up looks like Ronald McDonald. Like, he's like green with, like, orange with an orange mohawk. He looks he looks like a clown. And then when you make him do the dance, it's silly. Well, Daryl, did you have anything else, man? I think she did an amazing job covering all the druid stuff from Legion.
Yeah, I think I don't have any questions anyway. So yeah.
Katie, was there anything that you think maybe we missed that we need to go back and touch on? Or
I don't think so. I mean, druids are great. Just throwing it out there.
Gosh, man, I feel like I don't know. I've been on the anti-druid train for so long that, like, I may have to redact that a little bit.
Dinosaur druids is all you need.
I know. Seriously, who would have known? My least, like, I don't even like trolls, but, like, that just looks so cool.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine, like, if you go, you pop the guardian spell, and you get all this, like, cool Zandalari armor on your cool T-Rex, and, like, all thawed on them.
So, yeah.
Boom, Dasta.
I was going to say, I don't think they would do it, but now, thinking that there is like these really cool T-Rex models in-game, if they made the Guardian, I know traditionally it's supposed to be a bear, but if they made the Zandalari Guardian form into that rockin' Undasta, what was that dude from Siege of Orgrimmar?
Now, that was Thok.
Thok, yeah, something like that for a tank form. Holy crap. Mm-hmm.
That would be amazing.
That would be some next level, yeah. Gosh, dang it. Ah.
You're welcome.
Oh, okay. All right, I accept. Fine. All right, well, if you haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It is the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests, just like Katie, that you have heard on the show. That's discord.me/TTD.
Hit it. It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you have for shout-outs this evening?
Definitely Katie for coming on and giving me a schooling on druids that sounds like it may have pushed the pendulum back in the other direction. Daryl, definitely to you for being my bro host, as always. The raid team for just stomping through stuff and getting raids done, as usual. Gearing up for Antorus. Is that the right name? We've been calling it the Argus Raid for so long.
Antorus.
Yeah.
Argus Raid.
Getting ready for it.
That works.
James for making such a... coming and hanging out with us last week and making such a memorable episode for us. Daryl, what do you got?
Well, as always, the raid team, we're still rocking our Friday evening raids, even though it's just, you know, we're just doing normal Tomb of Sargeras. It's still a lot of fun, and we actually had a great turnout last week, and, you know, there's been times where even a few weeks ago, we were struggling to get 10, and we had almost 20 this week, so I hope that continues going forward with the Argus raid. I'm still going to call it that. Rob, give you a shout out as well. You know, you're always coming up with these great ideas for these shows. This whole Stay Classy series has been a real pleasure because I didn't do all these class stories. So, you've come to me with another one tonight that I think is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to doing that show coming up here soon too. And of course, Katie, a big shout out for coming on and maybe opening my eyes a bit on druids. Like as Rob said, you know, we've been bashing on druids for a long time. I don't even know how it even started, but Delete Druids is just
like
kind of a
good fun though.
Yeah, like we even brought a buddy of ours, Kranos, even made up like Delete Druid stickers with the you know, the red circle with the lion through it and the druid symbol. So brought those to BlizzCon last year. We had some leftovers, so we're handing out a few of those this year, But I don't know. The story sounds really cool. Like it's I might have to get my druid out of, where is he? He's like Jade Forest right now, I think. Something like that. I might have to maybe work on him a little bit. Well, we'll see. We'll see. But anyway, yes, thanks again. It was definitely a pleasure. Do you have any shout outs this evening?
Well, I'm going to shout out to you guys. Thank you for having me on and letting me come and gab about druids, which is always a pleasure. And then I guess a shout out to all your users. Thank you for listening to me gab about druids for however long this is. And I hope to encourage more druids because they're fun. Even though I suck at them, most people are really good at them. So go play Boom Chicken. Moonfire Spam. That's all you need.
Chuck Norris Moonfire Spam. That's right.
Spam to win. That's all you need.
Well, hey, if you can turn some crusty old dudes like us, soften our hearts to druids, and then I'm sure you could do that for anybody.
But, well, as long as people don't hate goblins, I mean, then we're okay.
No, man, I was goblin heavy for a while, man. I was very much into goblins, except for the starting zone. You can only do that so many times before you're like, okay, I get it. Thank you.
That's my favorite zone. I'll leave now. It's okay.
No, it's good, but like, how many times can you do that, you know?
I have over 20 goblin characters. Hi, well, MKB, okay. I have a goblin problem. I like Khan a little too much.
Yeah, and you sounded like me with monks and pandas for a while. I was going a little overboard with that. But. Well, before we wrap this up, Katie, why don't you let people know where they can reach you if they have any more questions about this topic or anything else? I know you do a pretty amazing podcast that kind of covers some of the ground that we covered tonight.
Oh, yeah, sure thing. I am found at the Tauren and the Goblin with my co-host, Nick. And you can find us on mashthosebuttons.com. I know we're on Apple, Stitcher. He gives a whole long list that I can't remember because he says it all the time. But anyone can reach us on Twitter at Tauren Goblin, or you can reach me personally at HyruleMaster77 on Twitter. And I love lore questions, so please come and pick my brain or just ask me questions or start conversations because I like lore a lot, too much.
Nice. So. All right. Well, that wraps up episode 182 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust from people you shouldn't.
Woo!